21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Hi, this is Shirley MacLaine. Happy 20th anniversary to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
He told me to smile, and he told me to sing.
Well, you're listening to the Slim and the Supreme Angels there on a mission from a king. It's back in the old days. That was the kind of music I used to love singing all the time. Our executive producer, well, this is Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD hanging out in this part of the universe. And, of course, our executive producer and research assistant, Laura Corton, our engineer, is Jake Bryant. And our guest, till the bottom of the hour, is Dr. Earl Mindell, Nutrition and Health for Dogs, with Elizabeth Rennigan, Basic Health Books. You can go to his website, Dr. Earl Mindell, MINDELL.com, or you can call 1-800-575-8890. We've learned what to look for when choosing a commercial dog food. We've learned how to read dog food labels. Boy, I certainly was deficient in that. And also that the fresher the food, the better it is for the dog. Dr. Mindell, what is the most important nutrient we can give our dogs?
Well, it's definitely water. There's no doubt about
water.
It. You know, you can go about, even humans can go 30 to 45 days without eating, but try going more than 7 to 10 days without drinking water. And the water that you give the dog should be free of any type of additives. Unfortunately, most of the commercial water today has fluoride and who knows what else they put in. So I would either get a very inexpensive distillation system and don't give them distilled water, but get rid of all the impurities, which are mostly gaseous. And, of course, water, vitamins are important, too. What I really did in the book is we divided between small dogs, medium, large, and giant dogs with the dosages for everything. So the water-soluble vitamins are the B-complex, the vitamin C and E, and the fat-soluble vitamins are A, D, E, and K. But the real Cinderella part of the nutrition world is minerals. We never hear very much about minerals, but yet minerals are as important, if not more important, than vitamins, because you can't make a single mineral in your body. You can make a couple of vitamins.
You note that vitamin E is really essential.
Well, vitamin E, of course, is definitely an essential nutrient. They're all essential. Some can be made in the body, but basically, we're not getting enough in our diet. And if you were feeding your dog a commercial dog food, make sure it has a sufficient amount of nutrients, or give them a supplement that contains the vitamins and the trace minerals that makes all the difference in the world. Usually I tell people to do this, and they say, you know, I can't believe the difference of the coat of the dog. It's shiny. It's their eyes are bright. I mean, of course, once you're healthy, dog or human, everything is better. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
In regards to the size of the dog, are there any vitamins that are more prone to be needed by the smaller than the larger dogs?
Well, it's not so much that. It's just that at the dosage is very important. And I talk about puppies, what their needs are. But it goes, the book goes into very specific things for small dogs, medium size, all the way up to giant dogs. For instance, a giant dog might need 2,000 to 4,000 milligrams, while a small puppy needs maybe 500 milligrams. So quite a bit of difference. And of course, there's pregnant and nursing dogs with their needs as well. But it broken down into very specific needs for your dog. And one of the big things that I talk about, Dr. Bob, is a strong immune system, because that's the body's first basic help or defense against incoming organisms, etc. So if your dog has their immune system is in good shape, then strong, then they will basically be prevented from a lot of problems.
Another thing that I think is important that you note is that emotional stress and the immune system affect dogs the same way it affects we humans, of course.
We're learning more and more about stress, and it's interesting that stress is a major problem because it can speed up the so-called pro-oxidants, which can lead to earlier problems with these degenerative diseases. Because most of the people today, including dogs, are not dying from old age. They're dying from degenerative diseases, and stress can exacerbate or worsen that whole situation. So try to keep your dog as calm as possible. And, of course, exercise is one of the best ways to overcome this problem with stress. And we don't exercise enough, and for sure we're not exercising our dogs. Imagine 40% are overweight.
What? How often do you exercise them a day?
Well, I think people should do an exercise program. And the nice thing about having a dog is it's a great way of going out for a walk, you see. And that's basically all you need is about a good half-hour walk every day would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. There are also the environmental threats to the immune system. In regards to what kind of chemicals, especially would you be warning us against in regards to?
Of course, you don't have to be a genius to know that if you're going to exercise, don't go out at 6 o'clock or 5:30 when all the automobiles are out. I mean, I love these people that are jogging down major intersections at the height of the traffic. They might as well put their mouth around the exhaust of an automobile. Well, it's the same thing with your dog. So the best time to really exercise is first thing in the morning and later in the evening, because that's the lowest amount of pollution. But unfortunately, there's a lot of indoor pollution, too, that we don't know about. All the chemicals could be the carpets, it could be the drapes, it could be the paint. So that's why antioxidants are so important to help protect us against them.
In regards to, I think we all go through the problem of fleas. What's your views on flea collars and shampoos and sprays?
I'm not too excited about the harsh chemicals that they use in the flea powders and sprays, et cetera, and pills. But there's natural. I have a chapter on natural flea control. And it's interesting that dogs don't perspire like we do. You know, they don't. They perspire out of their mouth. But things, and I talk about what you can do to help to overcome the fleas. And I still love the B vitamins. I still love the garlic. Is something that will help basically fend off against fleas, et cetera, if you want to do it the natural way.
What about the flea collars? Our dogs have had some serious problems with flea collars.
Well, you'll notice they can become allergic to the chemicals, and they get all kinds of problems with it. So I say I have this whole chapter on natural ways to overcome the flea infestation. And, by the way, it just doesn't happen. People think it only happens in the summer, and that's not true. Fleas are, unfortunately, there all the time.
That was interesting how you noted how to determine those little black specks of dirt as to how in the world that they might be flea feces or they're just plain dirt by putting a few drops of water on it. And if it dissolves into red blood, then it's flea dirt.
You can tell right away. I have a chapter on preventing and treating of life-threatening dog disease, like kidney failure. I'm talking about heart disease. Dogs will have the same type of problems we do with heart disease, especially if their diet is high in so-called human food. That's usually high in fats and thank goodness they got rid of the trans fatty acids now, because those were really bad news. But you start feeding your dog, French fries and fry this and fry that, they're going to come down with the same problems. And remember, a dog lives 1/7 of the life of a human. So one day in our life is equivalent to 7 days of a dog's life.
Yeah, I read it with some interest of one dog living to being 27 years old.
Right, well, that would be equivalent to almost, you know, seven times that is getting pretty old.
No. I'll say. That's pretty low. That's pretty odd. Long.
That's
there.
True. You know, the B vitamins, the vitamin C and vitamin E and magnesium. Here's a supplement that most people have never heard of called coenzyme Q10. Very important because it helps strengthen the heart muscle. It helps keep the cholesterol in check. And I talk about, of course, garlic. I talk about vitamin C, how important that is as well.
One chapter, chapter 8, Prevention and Treatment of Life-Threatening Dog Diseases, is another big eye-opener for me. You note that the five top causes of death and various diseases, the first being kidney failure. How could we recognize kidney failure within your dog?
Right, and of course, liver disease and heart disease. Similar to humans, except gastric bloat and torsion. If you see that the dog's stomach is bloated, etc., that's another problem. Either they're not digesting it or something's wrong, and it should be taken to a vet right away.
Yeah, but the kidney seems to be doing a considerable amount of same kind of work as the liver does. Is that correct?
Well, the kidney is a filtration device. The liver is, of course, the body's chemistry factory. It helps to neutralize and destroy all the toxins. You can live without, you know, humans can live with one kidney, but that liver is kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in Chapter 9, I have natural remedies for the common ailments. That, like allergies, if your dog is allergy prone, if the arthritis, all the itises, itis or osis are all inflammatory type situations, and they come down with the same thing. We're finding out that fish such as salmon, mackerel, cod, halibut, bass, tuna, etc., are very rich in a substance called omega-3 fatty acids, which is basically have anti-inflammatory principles. So that's something that, if it's possible, to get into their diet as well.
Then there's in Chapter 10, each one of these chapters are extremely useful. Chapter 10, I think, is one of the first chapters I went through because of our looking at some of our dogs. We have a Shih Tzu, who seems to have the same kind of problems of kidney, as you note, is prone to abnormal formation of blood vessels in the liver. You know, the digestive problems that the Shih Tzu has.
Well, what we did here is we took the purebred giants over 100 pounds, the wolfhounds, etc., and Great Danes. And we describe if they have any specific problems with that type of a breed, wolfhounds, and then you go to Newfoundland. That's a gigantic dog. It's prone to things like cataracts and elbow and eye abnormalities and heart disease and the Rottweilers. And then you go down to the small St. Bernard, of course. Then the large dogs are 50 to 100 pounds. That's like the Afghan Hound and the Terriers and the, let's see, the sheepdogs, Belgian sheepdogs. And then we go to the next, the smaller dog. The collie is probably 50 to 100 pounds. It all depends on how, but usually 50 to 100 pounds is about the average. And then you go to the smaller dogs. Which I guess the one you have is a smaller dog, I presume.
Oh yeah, we have some smaller dogs, and we have some very large dogs.
Yeah.
But you know, the reason why I enjoyed your work so much, Earl, is because it is so thorough. This is like there is one homeopathic book by, I think it was Dr. Dana Allman. I'm not certain.
Yes, I know Dana.
And who literally, it becomes almost like a text that you could use for humans. And one right. of the best things I think about this book is this is on the same level in that sense.
Well, thank you. I worked, of course, with Elizabeth Renahan and also a veterinarian to be very specific about the needs. We talked about the 20 to 50 pound purebreds. That's the Cocker Spaniels and the English Spaniels, etc. And then the Bulldogs, etc. So if you have whatever dog you have, you can find that specific breed. And of course, small dogs up to 20 pounds. We had, unfortunately, passed away a Bichon Frise, which is a cross between a poodle and a Maltese. They're small dogs, but they have, it's interesting that they have the same problems. They have eye abnormalities, happens all the time. They get skin allergies. They get cataracts. So if you know what to look for in your specific breed, then it's, I think, a lot easier to find out exactly what you can do to prevent it.
Especially if they have your book.
Well,
because
I hope so.
The
book, by the way, should be available also from, go to Amazon.com and just scroll to books and type my name in, and the book is available readily through Amazon.com.
Now, in regards to puppies and pregnant dogs and older dogs, they all have different or special needs. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's the same thing as humans. I mean, the young puppies and the elderly ones are more prone to problems, especially when it comes to nutrition. They should be the ones that you have to really focus on healthy diets. And of course, if a dog is pregnant, the needs are different as well. So go into very specific things about the puppies and elderly dogs and dogs that are pregnant. And in the back, we have resources where you can dog foods and supplements. We've got things such as labs to do antibody and flea control, natural flea type things. You mentioned homeopathic, some homeopathic remedies and online resources, and also water filters. I can't stress enough how important it is. If you really want, if you really love your dog and you want to keep them healthy or healthy, get a water filter and don't just give them the regular tap water, and make sure that that bowl that you give it to them is stainless steel.
You also make a wonderful case concerning fluoride. Could you please repeat that, because I'm certain that most...
It's very controversial because, unfortunately, almost every metropolitan water supply has fluoride. But my feeling is I would rather not give fluoridated water to a dog. So you can either get non-fluoridated water, or if you get a filtration device, it usually takes most of the fluoride out.
Well, I also appreciated your historical analysis of fluoride, what it was.
Well, it's a long, drawn-out affair. It's pretty well, if you look in the history of fluoride, you know, I'm a great antique collector, and I'm a pharmacist, as you mentioned, and I have a jar or a container of sodium fluoride. It not only has a crossbones on it, but it states that it will kill cockroaches. Now, if there's a nuclear holocaust, the only thing they think is going to survive are cockroaches, because they mutate so quickly. Sodium fluoride kills cockroaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I would rather not have your dog drink that type of water. And it's not that difficult to filter out all these gaseous additives to water.
I think all of us like to, encourage our dogs when they're doing something that is especially nice, at least what we think, and giving them treats. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I like the idea of treats, and I think you should reward the dog because that's the way they learn to do the right things. But when you're buying the treats, make sure you're buying the right treats. And I have a whole chapter about that because I've gone into some of these pet stores and some of these treats that they have that the dogs can chew, it can sliver off and can cause problems with their digestion. So get something that doesn't do that and that is healthy. And I always, if you're going to go into one of these stores, talk to the people there and find one that's knowledgeable and tell them exactly what you're looking for. It's available. It's just you have to, you know, basically ask for it.
That's for sure. Well, thank you for joining us, Dr. Earl Mindell. The book is Nutrition and Health for Dogs. This is the best book of its kind that I've ever read. Congratulations,
Well, thanks
Earl.
Very much, and be well and take good care of your dog.
Yeah, certainly will. Yeah. You do the same, okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And when we return, I really, you know, I love learning, and I've learned so. My wife has taught me so much about animals over the past 30 or 40 years that I am so thoroughly embarrassed if I told you what I thought animals were back there in 1970, somewhere around there. I just had no idea that they were just as advanced along many different lines and that they should be eating the same kinds of food that we are eating. Yeah, that's for sure. So, Dr. Earl Mindell, Nutrition and Health for Dogs with Elizabeth Rennigan. Basic Health Books, drearlmindell.com, 1-800-575-8890. And joining us when we return is Dennis Horgan, the James Joyce Pub in Baltimore. He is the general manager, and we're going to talk a little bit about the fundraiser for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And that's going to take place, that fundraiser, next Sunday. If you're a business owner or executive seeking growth yet determined to cut wasteful costs, consider outsourcing your whole marketing department to The Selling Well. The Selling Well offers businesses truly superior marketing services without all the overhead costs associated with employing a full-time marketing executive. Learn more online at thesellingwell.com. That's thesellingwell.com, named after one of our greatest symbols of prosperity, the well. Visit thesellingwell.com or call The Selling Well's managing partner, Plato Hieronymus, at 443-939-1890. TheSellingWell.com.
No matter who we are or what we do, our health is a priority. To stay well or to recover from an illness or injury, consider using options that are safe, natural, and in some cases, thousands of years old. From acupuncture to modern-day massage, counseling, and homeopathic medicine, the Ruska Mansions Community Health Center offers children and adults numerous health care and support services. Find out more about the Ruska Mansions yoga classes and weekend programs. Call 410-367-7300. That's 367-7300.
Hello, this is Penelope Smith, Animal Communication Specialist. I'm a pioneer in the field, have been doing this over 35 years, communicating with animals, and I've written Animal Talk and When Animals Speak. And this is 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Is this Horsey Fair? It's the Horsey Fair. Yes, with David Arkenstone. Oh, yeah. Well, over a year ago, I stumbled into the James Joyce Pub and Restaurant at 616 President Avenue in Baltimore's East Harbor and have been stumbling back many, many times. It sounds like W.C. Fields, doesn't it? I can see me stumbling around here. Well, it is a fact that when I go out to eat, there's only one restaurant I enjoy returning to, and that is the James Joyce Pub Restaurant. Yes, it's more than a place to eat and drink. It has the atmosphere of many pubs that we visited in Ireland back in the old days and in the new days. But you might be asking, who's this guy James Joyce anyways? At least that's how I've heard it in Baltimore sometimes. Who's this guy James Joyce anyways? And why is he so important to Ireland's history. Well, he was born on February the 2nd, 1882. That makes him an Aquarius. He passed on January 13th, 1941 from a perforated ulcer, and that makes him dying in Capricorn. And his birthplace with Rathgar near Dublin, Ireland. He's best known for his works of Ulysses and Finnegan's Wake, and his name at birth was James Augustin Aloysius Joyce. Yep, he's indeed one of my favorites, and I'm so glad to have his autograph in my collection. Well, he wasn't writing to me, of course. I was born in 43. He was passing on in 41, so we missed each other. Well, St. Patrick's Day is but a few weeks away, and if you are in the mood for a good time after this terribly cold winter, then we suggest you join us at the St. Patrick's Day Parade on March the 15th, 2009. And if you want to make the parade a continued success, then you should be joining us next Sunday at the James Joyce Pub and Restaurant from 3 to 7 p.m. at their annual auction and celebration at 616 President Street. Without the auction and the funds it raises, the parade itself might be in jeopardy because it's the funds generated from the auctions that make it happen. Joining us this year to invite you to the celebration is the general manager of the James Joyce Pub and Restaurant, Dennis Horgan. Dennis, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Bob. How are you doing?
What are you doing down there right now, Dennis?
Right now, I am sitting in my office getting ready for the auction and getting ready for St. Patrick's Day and everything else that's in between.
Well, there are going to be a lot of great things in the auction. We're going to talk about that a little later on. But everything at the James Joyce Pub and Restaurant is authentic, including its general manager. You're authentic,
that is
Dennis.
Correct, yes, that is correct.
What is your connection to Ireland, Dennis?
Well, I'm from County Kerry, Killarney, County Kerry myself. I've been over here about 7 years now, and been working at the James Joyce for about 6 years.
And that's all that's been, this is the sixth year now, or actually this
We're
is the seventh.
It's
in its seventh year right now. So you've been there ever since it was born down there, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. Just after the first year I came in, worked as a server here, and then went to the bar, then into management. And now I'm the general manager.
Well, now the James Joyce Pub and Restaurant is one of three that its owner, Jimmy Fagan, who joined us last year, he is the owner who created, one's in Arlington, Virginia, and that's called, what is it, Ireland's Four Courts?
That's Ireland's Four Courts. It's on Wilson Boulevard.
And where's the other?
The other one's in York, Pennsylvania. It's called the Harp and Fiddle. It's downtown York, very close to the courthouse.
The Harp and Fiddle. Definitely got to get there. Hey, just how authentic are these pubs anyway?
The James Joyce, specifically, all the furniture, all the fittings, was all bought over from Ireland. There's a company that's based out of the north. They actually export a lot of bars to America, to Australia, and to around the world. And what we do is we bought it all over. We bought all the staff over. Some have stayed. Some have moved on to, you know, different jobs in the U.S., and some have went home.
Well, there are a lot of other employees there that I'm aware of. There are a number of them that are still Irish.
In fact, we have got four Irish bar staff, and we've got about four on the floor. We've got a good mix here. Generally speaking, most of the staff that come over from Ireland, they usually stay for an average about 2 to 3 years. You know, we treat them well. They enjoy their time. Some go back home, you know, to their family. And some go on to other jobs. In fact, some of them have married and have kids. One of my bartenders, in fact, Colin, he just got married about 2 years ago, and he's a child, and he's still working with us, and he's been here since day one. So,
do you miss home? Do you miss your home?
I do, but I go home every year myself.
Every year?
Yeah, at least every year. I'm going home the end of April to visit my family for my dad's birthday and so on. So I definitely get home all the time. You know, I miss my friends sometimes, but a lot of them come over here. You know, it's quicker to fly to Ireland than it is to go to California. You know, that's what I tell people, and they always seem a little bit shocked by it, but it's true.
Well, I was shocked by the weather. It was so much warmer than I ever thought it was going to be. There's actually palm trees in the middle of winter.
Really?
In Ireland. Ireland.
I'm surprised. I mean, don't get me wrong, the weather is never as cold as it is here, but it's always very damp. I mean, particularly in the winter, very, very wet. And then the summers generally are unpredictable. Like, I believe last summer was the wettest they had on record. So that's not, you know, it's kind of, it's tough. It's tough. At least here, you know, you're guaranteed your summers. Sometimes, you know, definitely a little bit too hot, and then the winter's too cold. But, you know, you always have your seasons.
Well, food. Food is one of the reasons why you guys are in a restaurant business. Isn't that right?
That is true.
That's right.
Our food is phenomenal. We do a very, very, very big food trade, particularly the Irish stuff. The Irish stuff is very popular.
Tell us about the Irish stuff.
Okay, let me see. I suppose the most popular Irish item that we have is corned beef and cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Corned beef and cabbage. Well, funny enough, corned beef and cabbage is not that popular in Ireland.
Really?
Yes. You do not get it. Like, most restaurants in Ireland, you won't get corned beef and cabbage, which is kind of, it's a shame, really. But it's, I suppose, almost considered a little bit old school. You won't get it that much. So here we sell loads of it. It's really good. You get like an 8-ounce sliced thick cut corned beef, and you get a wedge of cabbage, some mustard sauce, mm-hmm. and you get a carrot and parsnip and mashed potatoes. It's really good. Really, really nice.
Oh, your mashed potatoes are out of this world.
Mm-hmm. And we do a very nice shepherd's pie as well.
Yeah.
For those of you who aren't familiar with shepherd's pie, basically it's ground beef. You got some onions, carrots, peas, and then tomato sauce. And then you got mashed potatoes on top, and then it's grilled. Very, very nice. They're the most two popular items. Then, of course, we got the good old fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
Yes, you like your beer batter cod. It's the most one of the most popular fish items that we have. And you get homemade tartar sauce and French fries. And then, of course, you have to have the stews. You know, lamb stew, beef and Guinness stew. It's pretty much, you know, everything's thrown in. It's stewed for 4 or 5 hours. Really, really good.
Now, bangers and mash is not Irish, is it?
No. Bangers and mash probably is English in origin.
Yeah.
But you do get a lot in Ireland. We get a slight twist in it. We do bangers and mash for our brunch, but on our menu we do beer battered sausages. So they're the big bangers.
Oh.
Yeah, and we dip them in a beer batter and deep fry them. They're really, really nice.
Tell our listeners what bangers and mash are.
Basically, bangers and mash are sausages.
Yeah.
Sausages and mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it is in a nutshell. I don't know where the name comes from, but everybody—that's what everybody calls them.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. They're very, very good.
They sure are. Well, there is one particular salad that every time I come down, I eat because it's really—and I've forgotten the name of it.
Is it the chicken feta salad?
Yeah, that's right. Chicken feta and apples. Look at that.
Yeah,
apples.
Yeah. Well, basically, the chef came up with it. It's an unusual twist for a salad. It's basically a chicken breast, and he's got mixed greens like a salad, and then he adds a little bit of feta cheese. And there's candied almonds in there. And he made his own raspberry vinaigrette dressings. Very, very sweet.
Yeah.
Very, very good. And then he dices up the Granny Smith apples because they're tart. And it's nice. It's probably the most popular salad that we have.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, we sell. Yeah, everybody loves it. I would say probably one in every 3 or 4 salads.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that they
and,
pick.
And, of course, you've got a wonderful selection of beers.
Yeah. We are the number one selling Guinness count in Maryland.
Oh, yeah. Really? I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we go through buckets of, we go through a lot. And then we have our Harp and our Smittix.
Uh-huh.
They're the main Irish ones. There's also Magner's Irish Cider. Probably not as popular as the other three, but it's pretty good. Then we do a James Joyce Amber, which is brewed by McHenry's, a local beer.
That's a great beer.
We have Sam Adams, Newcastle, Stella, Yingling, Hogarth and Miller Lite. We also do a Beer of the Month. What we do is we change it up every month. So, for instance, this month we have it's Dogfish Head IPA, 60 minutes, like a very hoppy beer.
Yeah.
So we change it up just to give our customers a different variety when they come in every time.
Are there many white beers in Ireland?
Yeah, there is. I mean, to be honest, you get a lot of the same beers over here, you know, that you have in Ireland, particularly the main brands. In fact, you'd be shocked to find out, but Budweiser is the number one import in Ireland.
Really?
Would you believe that?
I'll be.
Number one import. But you get all the same beers, all the major brands across the world, like Heineken, Amstel. They're all in Ireland.
Yeah.
But there's more local breweries over here than there is in Ireland. In Ireland, there's probably maybe 3 or 4 main breweries, and that's pretty much it. Over here, there's a lot smaller ones, but many of them.
Well, there are other events that take place regularly at the James Joyce Pub, such as open mic forums for musicians. Could you tell us about that, please?
What we do is for our open mic nights, we We do a tournament style every couple of months. Basically, what we do is we have, for instance, over like an 8-week period, we'll have two or three open mics, and we'll pick a winner from each night, and then they go through a grand final, and then we give out a cash prize at the end of it. We randomly do it every couple of months. You get a variety of different types of musicians. Usually, we kind of go for acoustic musicians, but you get all sorts. Some very, very good, and some, you know, not so good. But usually what we do is if people are good, we actually hire them on as musicians for the bar itself.
What about the governor? Has he ever been down there playing?
The governor, the very first day we opened here, the governor played live. I think he was mayor at the time of Baltimore. Yeah. He comes in, he was here for our fundraiser last year, I believe, and he played a little bit. But he comes in every now and again. I think he's getting busier. When he was mayor, he was in quite a lot, but I haven't seen him in quite a while. He must be busy down in Annapolis with everything that's going on.
Well, he is one hell of a singer. My God.
He's good, and I'll tell you, he's got a huge fan base. I mean, if he plays, people follow him. People follow him.
Well, he's got fans that he doesn't even know he has. I know that when we made some presentations to him from Ziggy Marley and who signed some stuff for him, and as well as Willie Nelson signed some stuff for him, and some of the Grateful Dead. I mean, he's the person that they greatly admire, and it's hard for them to believe that he actually was the mayor and the governor of this of the state of Maryland now.
For the Irish Festival down in Canton last year, he was the headline act on, I believe it was the Friday night, and the weather was terrible, but there was still a good crowd watching, so it was good, and it helps, because most of the cause that he does, especially for us, he helps us out, This year he's good enough to give us the governor's box for the auction.
Yeah, we're going to talk about those when we return. Because that's one of the most important things about this auction is raising money, friends, for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which follows the week after, but March the 15th, the Ides of March. We'll be back with Dennis Horgan, the James Joyce Pub in Baltimore, and the fundraisers for the St. Patrick's Day Parade at the James Joyce on Sunday, March the 8th from 3 to 7 p.m. And St. Patrick's Parade is the following Sunday, the 15th, starting in Mount Vernon. And go to the JamesJoycePub.com and check out also IrishParade.net.
Janie Hendrix, sister of Jimi Hendrix, and you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio with our guest Dennis Horgan. The James Joyce Pub in Baltimore and the fundraisers for the St. Patrick's Day Parade at the James Joyce on Sunday, March the 8th from 3 to 7 p.m. I'm going to get down there at about 1 p.m. if we can get a parking space out there in front there. And also, St. Patrick's Day Parade is Sunday, March 15th, starting in Mount Vernon. We always have a great time there. The JamesJoycePub.com and IrishParade.net. Now, the auction. Just how important is the auction that's going to be held next Sunday?
Well, Dr. Bob, to sum it up, I believe the parade need to raise well above $100,000 to pay for everything. And that's a lot of money.
That sure is.
A lot of money. So what they do is they have auctions in different pubs throughout the city. And we were the first ones to do it, and it's been very, very successful. Very successful. Last year we raised over $10,000, mm-hmm. and the year before we did something similar. So I'm hoping to raise a similar amount of money this year. Unfortunately, the city doesn't pay for it. It's the auction, the committee itself. So So everything they can get their hands on, they appreciate it very much. You know, it's a community event. Gets a lot of kids out down into the city, people who may not normally come into the city. And it's good for business for everybody.
It sure is. Now, you've got some great things that my producer was telling me about a couple of days ago. Tell us about some of the things you have on auction.
Well, this year we're lucky enough that all the businesses around us help us out a great deal. This year, the Marriott Waterfront next door, they gave us a complimentary night stay, and they threw in breakfast as well. The Hilton Garden Inn Suites gave us a night stay across the way. The Marriott Courtyard, we got a night stay off them. All the restaurants in the neighborhood have helped us out as well. We've got gift certificates for Fleming Steakhouse, Houlihan's, Roy's Hawaiian Fusion, Taco Fiesta, Ocean Air Seafood Room. We've even got memberships from some of the local gyms, from the Mac across the road from us. We also got Brick Bodies memberships. We've even got the Quintessential Gentleman. If there's any men out there that want to get a wet shave done, it's phenomenal. Highly recommend it. Got tickets to the aquarium, tickets to the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. We've got golf bags, mirrors, neons. Actually this year, it hasn't been confirmed, but I've been told that we'll be getting actually two footballs signed by two of the Ravens players, which will be very exciting. I'm not sure who it is yet, but I've been told it may be Ray Lewis, and I'm not sure who the second person is, but we're working on that at the moment, which is great. And I suppose one of the big highlights then is the Governor's Box, which is usually one of the biggest prizes that we always have every year, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it sure is. How many people would be allowed to use the Governor's Box?
It's 22 tickets.
Holy
22
heavens.
22 tickets, so... You know, if there's listeners out there and they've got a few friends and they want to take a Saturday night away, I mean, it's phenomenal. It's 22 tickets. It's May 29th, which is a Saturday, versus Detroit. It's one of the corporate boxes. The food and beverage, I believe, is at cost price.
Wow.
I can confirm it, but I believe the food and beverage is at cost price when you go there. And it's really, really nice. Really,
it sure
really
is.
Nice. And that's always, towards the end, that's always one of the bigger items that we do. Typically what we'll do on the night itself is we'll package the restaurants and the hotel stays so people can bid on them together. And in fact, you know, the value of what you're bidding on, usually you can get it for under the actual value,
which
is nice for people as well.
That's
and there'll be lots of kiddies prizes, you know, trips to the we'll have tickets to the movie theater and Haagen-Dazs ice cream tickets and stuff like that. So there's something for everybody. It's not just the big ticket items. You know, if you don't have a whole lot of money, if you got $20, $30, $40, you know, we'll be giving out T-shirts and a little different knicks and knacks that won't cost that much.
That's
try
right.
And participate with everybody.
Well, I know that we have put in something like about 30 pieces. All of them are collector's items, which basically over the last still 10 years since we've been dispersing a lot of this for fundraising, we are getting near the end of some of it, but we certainly still had some stuff from Paul McCartney and John Lennon, and of course of the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, the Beach Boys, the Rolling Stones, and guitar picks actually from Jimi Hendrix, and Bob Dylan and Elvis, and Willie Nelson and Tiger Woods, and a lot of stuff that I think, as we're beginning to see, this is the 40th anniversary of Woodstock. You think you're going to be seeing an awful lot of interesting stuff happen in the next couple of months on that. Now, so this is all a preliminary to the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Now, I know this is a simple question, but I think it's important. Why is this parade so important to the Irish in Baltimore community?
Well, let me start off and saying that the Irish community in Baltimore is not that big. You know, it's not that big. And, you know, it's once a year where everybody gets together. And it's not just Irish people. It's everybody, you know, within Baltimore itself. It's a community thing. People get together. They celebrate their heritage. Even people who aren't Irish celebrate it. And it just brings out, you know, it brings out good times. People have fun, you know. It brings out kids, brings out families, brings them down to the area. It shows them the history of Ireland. They may not be familiar with it. You know, goes through all the Irish dancing, the different Irish organizations that most people probably don't even know exist within Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps the heritage alive. You know, it keeps people who may not be able to get back to Ireland, you know, to see what it, you know, what it actually is, what's involved, you know, what's Irish music, what, you know, the different charities, you know, the amount of fundraising that they do, you know, that all the Irish organizations do is phenomenal, you know, and they probably don't get a whole lot of praise for it.
Well, it certainly is a mega effort to do this, but what happens, you know, when I was fascinated last year because the parade is over, and then it seems to be that's just the beginning of everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The parade is only the beginning. Unfortunately for me, I rarely get to see the parade because I'm actually in work. Typically, when the parade breaks, that's when I get busy.
I'll say.
Yeah, which is a good thing. I'm not complaining at all. Typically, when the parade breaks, everybody comes to get their Irish food. I know they have the 5K run before the parade. You'll get all the runners in around 2 o'clock and they'll all be wrapped up in their foil and they'll start drinking Guinness. And then, of course, once the parade breaks, they're all coming in for, you know, corned beef and cabbage and all their Irish food. And then, of course, that's just the beginning. Then, of course, Tuesday itself, St. Patrick's Day, is a big day itself. What you'll find is typically that the Sunday, there tends to be lots of families around the city and that come into us. And then St. Patrick's Day itself, it's a huge mix. You'll have people, we'll open the door at 11 a.m., there'll be people lined up trying to get in the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to see. In Ireland, it's a big event as well. It's a national holiday. But I think people in America take it, I would say, just as seriously. I think it's probably for a lot of people it's a fun event. I think that in Chicago they dye the river green. I mean, it's crazy. It's fun over here.
Is it any different in Ireland, celebrating in Ireland, as it would be, say, for instance, here? What would be the differences be?
The difference, there's not a huge difference between the two. I mean, every town in Ireland has a St. Patrick's Day parade. I would say almost every town, no matter how big, no matter how small, they'll always have a parade. And then, of course, after the parade, then comes the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes where people go out and have fun, you know, all night long. And it's the same thing here. There's not a huge difference between the two. In Ireland, you know, the military's involved. They always have the military, you know, in each parade. And they do here as well. But it's just, I think over here they take the fun side definitely much better.
Well, that's about it for tonight, friends. Thank you for joining us, Janice, the James Joyce Pub in Baltimore. And the fundraisers for the St. Patrick's Day Parade at the James Joyce on Sunday, March the 8th, 3 to 7 p.m. And the St. Patrick's Parade is Sunday, March the 15th, starting in Mount Irvine. The JamesJoycePub.com, IrishParade.net. See you next week.
It's inside.